We present Doctor at Large. Adapted for radio by Ray Cooney from the original novel by Richard Gordon, it stars Richard Briers as Simon Spaddo and Geoffrey Sumner as Sir Lancelot Spratt. Episode 11, Disengagement.
Please to enter.
Oh, hello, Fanny.
Simon, my old love, what on earth are you doing here?
I wanted to ask your advice about something, actually.
If Fanny Spratt catches you in his consulting rooms, he'll sling you up on your ear.
I will keep you a second. There's this girl, you see, and I want to take her out.
Oh, you devil, you.
Yes. Anthea de Vere Sidebottom.
I say. Is that her name or the way she walks?
She's a very nice girl.
Is she?
The point is, I want to get off on the right foot.
Yes.
So that's why I've come to you. I usually get myself in a hell of a mess, but I thought...
If you ask an expert...
That's it.
Well, of course, it depends how dishonorable your intentions are.
Does it?
Well, of course. I mean, there's no point laying out a fortune on her if you're not going to enter her for the old seduction fix.
No.
Well, is that your intention?
Well, I wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't mind?
Well, I'm quite keen.
You're quite keen?
Very keen.
Very keen.
In fact, I...
Your tongue's hanging out, isn't it? How can you?
Well, she's reasonably attractive.
Well, what does that mean?
She's not ugly.
Not ugly. Pretty?
Half and half.
I see. Pretty ugly.
She's all right.
Well, what's her figure like?
What's all this got to do with it?
You've come to the expert, haven't you? All right. I'm insisting on a survey.
Well, her figure's quite nice. She's a big girl.
Pretty ugly and fat. How old is she? 69?
She's about 18 or 19. Works in a bank.
Does she? Sounds ideal. You're not in love with her or anything obnoxious like that, are you?
No, of course not. No, but you know how it is. I mean, I'd like to start sometime with someone.
Yes. Oh. Where'd you meet her?
In a tea shop.
Oh, good. She doesn't have expensive tastes. Has it got past the chatting stage yet?
Not really, no.
Well, basically, there are two approaches. Now, approach number one is the slow one. Start off by asking her out for the pictures, but make sure it's a U certificate. I mean, you know, something you could take a maiden aunt to see.
Why's that?
Well, you know, some of the films nowadays are a bit too hot for a new relationship. Then take her to a couple of A certificates, and then you finish up at the midnight showing of Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Yeah. Mind you, that sounds as though it might take some time.
Ah, well, if you're in a hurry, approach number two is what you need.
What's approach number two?
Well, next time you meet her in the tea shop, just ask her straight out, Miss Sidebottom, do you fancy a bit?
She doesn't eat very much, you see. She's on a diet. Never eats a thing.
Oh, my God. You better stick to approach number one.
Do you, like another cup of tea, Anthea?
No, thanks.
How about a raspberry tart?
No, thanks.
Go on. You've only had a couple of slices.
No, I'm on a diet.
Oh, yes, of course you are, yes. Oh. Are you busy tonight?
Not particularly.
Shall we go out then?
Okay.
Pictures?
Again?
I thought you liked the pictures.
But we keep going to the pictures.
Yes, I suppose we do.
We've only known each other a week and we've been five times already.
Five, is it?
All westerns.
I like westerns.
I used to.
Well, what sort of pictures do you like best?
Don't mind, really.
How do you feel about, sexy films?
Oh. No, I'm not keen.
Aren't you?
No.
Oh.
They give me ideas.
Do they? Do they? What sort of ideas?
What sort do you think?
Well, sort of sexy thoughts. Now, I don't think that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that at all. See, I mean, we all have them, and in this day and age, being permissive is, well, you know, I mean, mind you, when I say permissive, I'm not saying excessive.
I don't follow you.
Don't you? No, I'm not very good with words. Well, some fellas find this sort of thing a piece of cake, but all I wanted is a slice.
Look, if you're saying you want to see a sexy film, that's okay by me.
Is it?
All I'm saying is they give me ideas.
Yes. Well, what I'm saying is that if you have these ideas, maybe we needn't even bother with the film.
I thought you were keen on the pictures.
I'm keen on other things, too. Anthea?
Hmm?
Auntie, I know we've only known each other a week, but I have a proposal to make.
A proposal?
Yes.
A proposal?
No, I quite understand if you say no.
You mean you're proposing?
After all, we've just been to the cinema a few times and that's it. But we both seem to like the same things. We both seem to get the same sort of ideas.
Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Don't get angry, please.
But we've only known each other a week. Oh, I can't believe it.
Well, you don't have to say anything immediately.
I just didn't know you felt like that.
Oh, normal.
Yes. Well, I'll have to think it over. Because, I mean, I'm still young, and I think I ought to wait.
Oh, do you?
How long did you want to wait, then?
If you're agreeable, I don't want to wait at all, really.
Franz, you're a bit impetuous. Well, even if I said yes, I don't see how we could go ahead inside 6 months.
6 months?
At the least.
I was thinking about tonight, actually.
Tonight?
Well, only if you felt like it, of course.
Franz, you are impetuous. Oh, but you'll have to announce it 3 times, won't you?
No, I'm not like that, I promise you. I mean, if you say yes, I'm going to...
Dear, look at the time. Oh, I must get back to the bank. Golly, I've never been so surprised in my life.
It wasn't easy.
I'd better dash or I'll get torn off a strip. Look, it's Friday today. Why don't you come over to my place for the weekend?
The weekend?
Give me a ring this afternoon and we'll sort it out. Oh, I must say, you are a dark horse.
Blimey. I should have started approach number 2 years ago. A naughty weekend, first go off.
Hello.
Hello, Anthea.
Come in.
Thanks. Super place you've got here.
It's not bad.
I brought my suitcase.
Yes.
Do you share it?
Share it?
You know, with a girlfriend.
I shared it with Mummy and Daddy, silly.
Mummy and Daddy?
Didn't I tell you I lived at home?
No, you didn't, no.
Oh, it's much nicer, really.
Yes, I suppose it is, yes. Where have they gone?
Who?
Mummy and Daddy.
They haven't gone anywhere.
Blimey, they're not here now, are they?
Mummy is. Daddy gets back from work later on.
They're not staying the whole weekend, though.
Of course. That's the point. So we can chat it over.
Chat what over?
Well, I'm not old enough to do it without Daddy's permission.
You're going to ask his permission?
Mummy's already said I should grab you.
You haven't spoken to your mother about it.
Of course. I couldn't go ahead without their blessing. Darling, don't keep the boy out in the hall all this time. Mummy, this is Dr. Sparrow.
Hello, Mummy. Mrs. Wagglebottom.
How do you do? Well, leave your case there and come through. Here we are. I think you could pour us all a sherry, Anthea. Sherry, all right. Simon, isn't it?
Yes, sherry and a Simon will be fine, thank you.
Well, do sit down.
Thank you.
I must admit, I don't know what Anthea's father's going to say about all this.
Let's not tell him, please.
Don't worry. I'm on your side.
Are you?
I'm sure it'll do Anthea the world of good.
Blimey.
Yet I think it's only the suddenness of it all that's holding Anthea back. Here's your sherry, Simon.
I think I need it.
Mummy. Oh, thank you, darling. Well, here's to you both. I hope you enjoy every minute of it.
Are you all right?
Yes. It's just that I didn't expect your mother to be so... Well, you know, I'm blimey, she's almost pleased.
Personally, I think she's more than ready for it.
Blimey.
Oh, Mummy, you're getting a bit embarrassing.
A bit?
No. I'm on your side, Simon.
I can tell.
And if it takes all weekend, you and I will talk Anthea and her father into saying yes.
That's jolly, isn't it?
Then the only thing to decide will be where and when.
I think I'll have another sherry, please.
What about your parents, Simon?
My parents?
Do they know yet?
No.
Oh, well, if all goes well, you can ring up from there and tell them.
See, I'm sorry, but I still know the truth is not the sort of thing I discuss with them.
Oh? I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I lost it driving yourself. Oh, didn't know we got company.
Hello, Daddy.
Henry, This is Dr.
Dr. Sparrow. Yes, Sparrow. How do you do, Mr. Wagglebottom? Shufflebottom. Sidebottom.
Like a sherry, Daddy?
I'd rather have a whiskey.
I should have a double if I were you.
Why, nothing wrong, is there, Doctor? I mean, you haven't been called into...
No. Now, you'd better tell Mr. Sidebottom why you're here, Simon. Get it off your chest.
Could I have another sherry, please?
Let's wait until after dinner, Mummy.
Yes, let's do that, yes.
Your father may as well know why Dr. Sparrow's called.
I'm beginning to get a bit of an inkling.
I don't feel very well.
It's about Anthea and Simon, Henry.
I haven't made up my mind yet.
Let's hear what your father's got to say first.
Did you even have a window?
Of course.
Well, come on, Doctor. Mrs. Sidebottom's determined to have something said before dinner.
Yes, well,
Henry. The doctor wants to ask you something about himself and our little girl.
He'll kill me, I know he will.
Nonsense. Henry, Dr. Sparrow wants to marry Anthea. Oh.
Can we have a recap, please?
I thought that's what it was. It's a bit of a surprise, by George.
It certainly is, by George.
What are you saying, Anthea?
Nothing yet. I was more surprised than anybody.
Do you want to bet?
And Simon doesn't want to wait either. Do you, Simon?
I think I'll sit down.
Why?
Before I fall down. Tony, over here.
Hello, love.
Oh, Tony, I'm so pleased to see you.
Now, what's up? You look as though you're going down for the third time.
Oh, Tony.
What is it? You dragged me into some pub in the wilds of London suburbia during the only decent weekend we've had, and you stand
there. I've got myself in a hell of a mess.
Well, come tell Uncle Tony. And remember, as my old granny used to say, nothing matters half as much as you think it does.
Your old granny doesn't know Anthea to be a side bottom.
Oh, yes. Well, what's the score there?
I've hit the jackpot.
Oh, well done, my beauty.
Thank you. Will you be my best man?
I beg your pardon?
The marriage takes place 6 weeks from now.
Marriage? Whose marriage?
Mine, you twit. My marriage, the blessing of my union with Anthea de Vere Sidebottom. I wish I was dead.
Oh, thanks. Here's your beer, Tony. No, thanks. I think you've got to start at the beginning.
It's the flaming end I'm worried about. 6 weeks from now, I'll be on my honeymoon. Say something, for heaven's sake.
Congratulations.
You've got to help me.
What, on your honeymoon?
I've got to get out of it.
Out of what?
The whole ghastly business.
Well, if you want to get out of it, why the hell did you get into it?
It was you and your flipping number two approach. I asked her if she felt the hit. The next thing I know, her mother's patting me on the back, saying it'll be nice to have grandchildren.
You mean there has been a slight misunderstanding?
If you put the 1939 war in that category, yes. I said this, started off by saying to her that I had a proposal to make.
Oh, I see, an Anthea thought... That's very comical.
I see nothing funny.
You're not standing where I am. Well, Rosa, you know, if your brains were made of donuts, you wouldn't have enough for the hole in the middle. Simon, you are in a bit of a fix.
Thank you, Sigmund Freud. Look, I need practical help. Knowing my luck, if I go through with this, I'll have triplets before the end of the year.
Well, it mightn't be so bad.
The real trouble is her flipping mother. The way she's taken over, you'd think I was marrying her.
Keen, is she?
Keen? You'd imagine I came with gift vouchers.
She probably thinks the whole family will get free medical treatment.
Anyway, by this morning, Mummy has persuaded Daddy it was a super idea, and tomorrow after church, we're seeing the vicar.
You don't do things by halves, do you?
They're going to find me a practice in the neighborhood and give us the top part of the house.
Very cozy.
They're ghastly, Tony. I mean, Anthea's not too bad, but Mummy's all jolly hockey sticks and Daddy's jolly golf clubs. What am I going to do?
Well, after your marriage, you mean?
No, how can I prevent it?
Well, that's almost impossible, old love. And once you've set the terrible machinery of marriage in motion, you've had it.
Have I?
Yes, and about as much chance as a crate of eggs under a pile driver.
Oh, blimey. I didn't even know the girl, really.
Don't worry, that'll be rectified during the next 50 years.
I'm getting my just desserts, of course.
Now, your one hope, of course, would be...
Yes. Well, to get Anthea to break it off with you.
But they've convinced her I'm the one. Yes, well, possibly they could all be convinced otherwise.
How?
I don't know. I mean, tell them you suffer from homicidal tendencies.
Hey,
that's not a bad idea.
What? Bump them all off?
No, no. I mean, if they thought you were undesirable, I mean, you know, or if you...
Yes, it's of course. You leave it to Tony.
What are you going to do? The less you know about it, the better. Thanks for the drink. You'll probably see me sometime tomorrow afternoon. What's the address?
Whose?
The Sidebottom.
Oh, 25 Trimley Road.
Lovely. You better get back or they'll send out a search party.
Now, look, Tony, I don't want you to do anything.
Don't worry, my beauty. As my old granny used to say, you can take a horse to water, but a pencil must be lead. See you.
White, of course. There's no other colour for a wedding dress, darling.
Yes, I quite like white. What do you think, Simon?
Pardon?
Do you want it white?
White? Oh, yes, please, with sugar.
We're discussing Anthea's dress.
Oh, yes, very pretty. Yes, I like it, yes.
Her wedding dress.
Oh, wedding dress. Black, I think.
It must be that enormous lunch you ate, Simon. Right. White wedding dress.
Long, I think.
Definitely.
And a veil.
Definitely.
What else is there? You'll be responsible, Simon, for announcing it in the better daily papers.
I will? Oh, yes, I will.
And the wedding ring.
Wedding ring?
Simple and inexpensive.
My sentiments entirely.
Yes. Your money should be spent on the engagement ring.
Well, see, it's hardly worth it.
Hardly worth it?
Well, is it a short engagement with a wedding so close?
The engagement ring, Simon, is the symbol of exchange promises.
I see, sort of down payment on delivery of goods.
And don't forget you have to select your best man.
Yeah, I'm looking for him now. I'd like a friend of mine.
Well, naturally. I can't think of anything else for the moment. Can you, Simon?
No, I think it's pretty well sealed, settled.
Oh, did Henry have a word with you last night?
I don't think so.
He said he was going to. About, you know.
About you now?
No.
By the United Nations?
No. S-E-X.
No S-E-X. Oh, sex!
Didn't Henry approach you?
Certainly not.
He said he was going to talk to you about it.
Oh, Mummy, don't be so hot-making.
Just the one to talk about these things. After all, Simon's a doctor. You're interested, aren't you, Simon?
I'm fascinated.
Well, if Henry's funked it, I suppose it's up to me. It's about you and S-E-X, Simon.
Yes?
Well, it's only a matter of waiting a few weeks. There, I've said it.
Mummy.
Well, darling, some young people nowadays seem to think that getting engaged is the same thing as getting married. And there are quite a few who don't even bother to get engaged. What do you say, Dr. Sparrow?
Good luck. Oh, good Lord.
Anyway, Henry and I just wanted to remind you that in only 6 short weeks, you'll be man and wife.
There's no need to remind me, honestly.
Good. Now, Henry and I were engaged for 18 months. And every night during our engagement, he did the same thing.
Did he?
Yes, he took me out for the evening. And then he brought me home and said goodnight on the front doorstep. And not once did we allow it to go any further.
I think it's very commendable.
Henry would then go back to his lodgings, and I'd curl up in bed with Howard Spring.
That seems a bit unfair on this aside.
Howard Spring wrote books.
You mean at the same time? You're referring to Howard Spring, the author. Yes, of course, very wise. Oh, the front door. I'll go, shall I?
No, it's all right.
But it might be...
Might be who?
The vicar, or another relative.
They all call this morning.
Only about 30 of them.
I'll see who it is.
Well.
This is the first moment we've had alone all weekend.
Yes, you better see if you've got a Howard Spring in the bookcase.
You've been perfectly beastly ever since you arrived.
I haven't.
You have. Mummy hasn't noticed, of course. She's too busy planning everything. And Daddy can't see further than the end of his niblick.
End of his what? Oh, yes. Well, I don't suppose he's been the same since he spent those 18 frustrating months being engaged to your mother.
That's it. Insult my parents.
Well, you just said...
They're my parents, aren't they? I don't understand you, Simon. Right out of the blue, you propose to me, and then behave as though you wish you hadn't asked me the moment I accept.
You accept? You hardly said a word while your mother decided everything. I bet she plans to be on the honeymoon, giving hints to do-it-yourself mother-in-law.
Oh, you weak-willed, insufferable pig.
Not so much of the weak-willed.
You've got no guts at all.
I've got more guts. I've got guts I haven't even used yet.
It was nice as pie to her face. All boyish charm and smiles.
They're not smiles, they're gritty smirks.
And the moment she's out of the room, you're as rude as anything. I've never known such a change come over anybody. And I can't think of anything more ghastly than being married to you.
I can. Let's be married to you.
Then why the hell did you ask me?
I didn't ask you to marry me. I asked you to...
What?
Well, I admit it sounded like a... But it was... Well, I was... forget it.
Well, did you or didn't you ask me? I'm not deaf.
Yes, I did ask you, but not that.
You mean it wasn't a proposal?
No, it was more of a proposition, really.
Well, if you weren't asking me to get married, what the heck were you asking?
Oh, I may as well tell you. Everything you said about me is perfectly true. I'm a moral coward. I've got about as much guts as an old sock. I behaved atrociously, and there's absolutely nothing in my favor at all. Look, can you remember that I got muddled up about fancying a bit?
What?
Well, I was asking you if... Come here.
That's the nicest thing I've ever had said to me.
Pardon?
I think that's a wonderful compliment to a girl.
Do you?
Every girl wants the boys to feel like that about her.
Perhaps you should go back to square one.
Perhaps. I'm not saying what my answer will be, mind you.
Oh.
I'm as old-fashioned as Mummy, really.
You mean you'd rather curl up with House Ring?
No. I wouldn't rather. Look, let's start again at the beginning and see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely super. Now, we'll go to the pictures. And then what...
Dr. Sparrow, you have two visitors.
Two what?
And Mr. Benskin and a Sir Lancelot Spratt. And they both look very angry. Come in, gentlemen.
Thank you, madam. Ah, there you are, you rotten cad.
Rotten cad?
Where is he? Ah, there you are, Sparrow, you miserable wretch. Madam, may I ask if this obnoxious boy has proposed marriage to your daughter?
Well, yes, he has.
Good grief, he's at it again, Benskin.
At what again? You spine, Sparrow.
What is the matter?
This young wastrel is already married to my daughter.
Oh.
What? And he's also married to my sister in Chipping Sodbury.
What?
And he's also married three other girls in the London area alone.
Heaven knows how many he's got up north.
Please, shut up. You're both making a mistake.
Silence! That's just how I play it up. There. You unmitigated rotter.
You absolute bounder, sir.
It's all right now.
No, it isn't. The game's up.
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying Dr. Sparrow is already married?
To five girls that we know of, madam.
But that's bigamy.
Yes, very bigamy.
I only hope we're in time to stop him ruining your daughter the way he ruined mine.
Yes, and my sister in Chipping Sodbury.
The hell with your sister in Chipping Sodbury?
That's the idea, boy. Play it rough.
I don't need your help now.
Ah, you're doing damn well without it, aren't you, you beast? How are we doing?
Marvelously.
I just can't believe this assignment.
It's the truth. You asked my sister in Chipping Sodbury and her six children.
Six children?
And he's made me a grandfather twice.
Eight children?
The thing to do is to get him to the nearest police station.
Police station?
The police?
Yes, I've been after him for years. He's known as Chat-Up Charlie, the Romeo from Ramsgate.
Why Ramsgate?
Mrs. Sidebottom, you had better come with us to prefer charges.
Oh, no, I'd rather not.
He's a menace to society.
But the scandal! We'll all be in the Sunday newspapers.
Oh, goody.
Sorry, Mummy.
So you prefer to let the matter drop, Mrs. Sidebottom?
Definitely. It's all very upsetting. But just take him away.
Come on, Chat-Up Charlie.
I can explain everything.
Don't Sparrow out. Even without the Sidebottom's evidence, you'll get 10 years at least.
10 years?
Probably 20. Forget all about him, Miss Sidebottom. He'll be an old man by the time he gets out.
But wait a minute, you're making a mistake.
No, not you, sensuous young brute.
Yes, you are, you stupid old nana. I'll murder the pair of you. I'll give you Chipping Sodbury, Benskin.
You were saved just in time, Anthea.
Yes, I know. It's pity, isn't it?
Pity?
Well, I know it would have been disastrous, of course, but it's quite an honour to have been selected from thousands of girls by Chat-Up Charlie.
You're not to think of him ever again.
Of course not, Mummy. But wow. 5 wives and 11 children in the London area alone.
Thank you. In that episode of Doctor at Large, written by Ray Cooney, the parts were played as follows. Simon Sparrow, Richard Bryars, Sir Lancelot Spratt, Geoffrey Sumner, Tony Benskin, Ray Cooney, Anthea, Alethea Charlton, Mrs. De Vere Sidebottom, Ambrosine Philpotts, Mr. De Vere Sidebottom, Peter Williams. Doctor at Large was adapted from the original novel by Richard Gordon and produced by David Hatch.